Well, good morning, church. Let's open up today with a word of prayer, asking God to grant us wisdom and the Spirit of God to move in our minds and in our hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather together as a body of believers to hear your word, to be encouraged in worship, to be challenged. And so, Lord, we pray that as you correct us, convict us, and possibly rebuke us, Lord, we pray that we would see the gracious hand of God on our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray for those this morning that may not have a relationship with you. I pray through today's word, Lord, that they will see their need for Jesus and humbly submit and surrender their entire life to him. So, Lord, I pray that you do what I cannot do. Lord, that you would change our hearts, change our minds, so that you would go about changing our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord today? I hope you are, because we are going to start a new series this morning, a new study through the book of Proverbs. So if you would, go ahead and make your way to the book of Proverbs. We'll be in chapter 1 this morning. You know, life is filled with a lot of proverbial statements, statements that make us think. You know, we've grown up and we've heard statements like, the early bird catches the worm, right? Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's better to ask for forgiveness than to seek permission, right? If you're a Forrest Gump fan, you've heard life's like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. I think the better slogan would be, life's not like a box of chocolate. It's more like a jar of jalapenos. Whatever you choose to do today might burn your behind tomorrow, right? So you never know. You know, whereas the book of Proverbs may have some resemblance to some of those pithy statements, those statements of seeming truth, those little tidbits, we have to understand that as we read the book of Proverbs, it's not a fortune cookie. It's not Dear Abby advice. It's not pop psychology. Basically, follow your heart and do whatever your heart desires. It's not talk radio where it's simply pushing their human, man-made agenda. It's not reading your horoscope in the newspaper. We turn to Proverbs instead because it is the very inspired scripture that teaches us about the gospel. It teaches us about wisdom. It teaches us about Jesus, who is the very wisdom of God. Proverbs meets us where we live in our everyday life. Proverbs doesn't take us necessarily to the lofty heights of theological wisdom, but it's going to take us to the very streets where we live every day of our lives. That's what the book of Proverbs does. You see, the book of Proverbs deals with things like relationships. It deals with decision making. It deals with finances. It deals with how to be a boss, how to be an employee, how to raise your kids, how to plan for the future, how to engage in marriage. You see, in God's ultimate wisdom, and because of his amazing grace for us, he has gifted us with a book of Proverbs. It is painfully practical wisdom from God that deals with where we're living right now, where you'll be living, Lord willing, tomorrow. It meets us right where we're at, and it gives us wisdom. So this morning, as we begin to unpack the book of Proverbs, we're going to really address this thought. Where does wisdom begin? Where is the beginning of wisdom? So in order to do that, we're going to look at the first 7 verses in the book of Proverbs. So let's read it together. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, and to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, essentially referring to the very mysteries of life. And then verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this morning, I want to ask and answer 3 very, very questions. And the first question is this: what is wisdom? What is wisdom? And this is important because wisdom isn't a natural outcome of age. There are tons of people who are much older who are not wise people. It's not about education or accumulating facts, because there are a lot of brilliant people in academics, but they're unwise when it comes to everyday living, living for God. So it's not a natural outcome of education, it's not a natural outcome of age, and it's definitely not a natural outcome of experience, because if you're like me, there are certain things in my life that I do over and over and over again that are not wise. And so it's not about mere experience. You see, wisdom has to do with the choices you make, the paths of life you travel down, the way you relate to God, the way that you relate to others. It is the very wisdom of God that allows room for correction in your life. It's the wisdom of God that doesn't allow us to be easily fooled, easily deceived. Wisdom brings you to a place where things were once not obvious are now becoming more obvious. It's how you get your moral compass and your way of ethics in the way that you live and deal with people. Why? Because the wisdom of God is based on and built on the very absolute truths of life. It will never change, ever. It is the one thing that we have that we can go back to and live in that is constant and consistent and correct. It is the very Word of God. You see, wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective and living accordingly. Let that sink in just for a moment. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective and living life, your life, accordingly. And this is important because if you're like me, there are times where I really want to lose weight. I want the results of what that is, but I don't always want to put in the work to do it. And what the Scripture is telling us is that the work of wisdom, the work, is seeing life from God's perspective. And the results are life that is well lived for the glory and honor of God. To have the right results, you must have the right foundation. And the right foundation begins and ends with God Himself. Wisdom, living life skillfully. That's the result that we desire for ourselves and for our children and for our families. But the very work to get there, in order to produce that fruit, comes as we struggle and dive into who God is and what His desire is for us. That is the foundation. That is where the work is. Wisdom, seeing life from God's perspective, and living your life according to what He says and what He desires for you. That is wisdom. The next question is this: why do I need wisdom? Why do I need wisdom? I know some of you here this morning, both young and old, think you don't need wisdom. You've got it all figured out. I mean, you got certificates hanging on the wall. You don't need God's wisdom. You can do it on your own. You don't need anybody telling you what to do. Well, let me give you three reasons why each one of us here today, doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 88 years old, why you need the very wisdom of God in your life. And the first reason is this: you don't naturally have it. You don't naturally have the wisdom of God. We didn't step into this world bearing the wisdom flowing out of us naturally. We need wisdom because we don't naturally have it. Proverbs 1:4, it gives us the purpose of why this book was written. It says, the purpose of wisdom is this: to give prudence to the simple. That word prudence means discernment. Things are not always as they seem. Have you realized that in life? It's the ability not to take everything at face value. That word simple means to be uninformed, to be immature, to be naive. And let me just tell you, we enter this world in that posture. We're immature. We're ignorant. and we're very naive to the things of life. And the book of Proverbs deals with granting wisdom to you and me because we don't naturally have it. We lack it. It's God's gracious gift to you and I to know how life works and why we do what we do and what is the motivation for doing those things. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in its end, it's the way to death." Do you see the picture that is being painted here? A man stands at the beginning of the road and it looks great. It's inviting. It meets me where my desires are. And you enter that journey, that road, that path that seems so great that you think at the end of the road it's going to have great reward, great blessing. And what happens? You decide to climb that ladder. And apart from God, you get to the end, and what happens? You realize you wasted your entire life going down a path that only leads to death. It's the wrong road. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I'll say it right here, it doesn't go anywhere. I enjoyed fire. I liked fire. And so I got this bright idea that I would take this letter. I don't know if it's something I wrote to my girlfriend or she wrote it to me. I don't remember. But I got it in the bathroom. Evidently, I didn't like it. And I go in the bathroom, and I'm like, I'm going to light this bad boy on fire. I had a cigarette lighter, got it from my brother. He's in trouble. And so I light it, thinking like, all right, this is a good idea. Well, then I hear my mom and dad say, "What's that smell?" So in my great wisdom, I decide, well, I'll just put it in the bottom of the trash can and put stuff on top of it, and it's going to be great. Don't worry, nothing else caught on fire. I was smart enough to douse it with water, right? So my parents go in there, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't smell nothing. Well, of course, there's a letter in the trash can. In my writing, at the bottom of it, I was guilty. But in my mind, it seemed like a great idea. It seemed like things were going to just be just fine. I didn't really trail that one out too long. As parents, have you ever looked at your child and say, what in the world were you thinking? Maybe you're a parent right now and you're sitting down with your teenager at night saying, hey, you didn't really think this one through, did you? Are you there right now? Have you been there before? I know what you're thinking. Kids can do some really dumb things, but let me tell you something. So can adults. Adults can do very dumb things. Every day, you and I have to make decisions in life. And oftentimes, we stand at the beginning of the road and we make our decisions based on what? How we feel. What's the immediate gratification? What's going to make me happy today, even if I have to suffer tomorrow? We want it now. And so we make our decisions based off emotions, based on experience, based on where everybody's going, what pats us on the back, what puffs us up and makes us more prideful. How often have you found yourself with that motivation determining that you've walked down the wrong path? You've made the wrong decision. You were very unwise. Why is that? Because we don't naturally have the wisdom of God in our life. And by the grace of God, He hasn't left us to ourselves to determine what that is. He has given us the book of Proverbs. The second reason why you and I need wisdom is this. It is stitched in the fabric of creation. It is stitched in the very fabric of His creation. Proverbs 3:13 and then verses 19 through 20 say this. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. And then listen to what He says in verse 19. He says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken open and the clouds dropped down the dew. What is it saying to us right here? It's saying that in God's infinite wisdom, He has woven into the fabric of creation wisdom. How the universe works. The way things relate to one another. The reasons why certain things are designed to do certain ways, to be done certain ways. God has woven into the creation itself. The design for marriage between one woman and one man for life. It's His wisdom. It's His ultimate plan. God has woven into creation how relationships are to work, the way economics works, the way our bodies work, the way time itself works. And when you and I choose to go against the very wisdom that was founded in the very fabric of His creation, when we choose to do that, when we get outside of God's wisdom, God's will, we will never experience, never fully experience the very peace of God, the presence of God, the pleasure of God, and the joy that God wants us to have apart from Him. It may just be for a season, but at the end of that road, you will find nothing but death. Why? Because you're operating, choosing to operate outside God's created order. Your Creator designed it to operate a specific way. Therefore, we need the Creator to teach us how to live and why to live. You see, some of you are banging your head against the wall in the area of finance. You're banging your head against the wall in the area of relationships. You don't know why you are in bondage. You don't know why it's causing so much anxiety, so much pain, and so much fear. It simply might just be that you're operating outside of God's wisdom for your life. That might be it. Listen, we cannot continue to operate contrary to the Word of God and expect a different outcome. If your posture in life is to do it your way, you will always experience drought, suffering, pain, fear, anxiety, all those things. But when you do things God's way, you may still experience suffering and pain, but you know what? There's joy. There is peace. We need wisdom because that's the way God wired the very universe He created. The third reason why we need wisdom is this: the world is a very dangerous place. The world is a very dangerous place. We live in a culture that is so contrary to the teaching that is found in the book of Proverbs. Our culture teaches you every commercial you watch, think about it, every commercial your child watches and what you watch in the midst of that football game, or whatever it is that you choose to watch, every single commercial that you watch, every magazine you choose to read tells you to live for the moment. To get your gratification now. Make your decision now. That furniture that you really don't need has 90 months of 0% financing. I need it. I'll pay it off. Yeah, right. 91 months later, you still got the bill and all that stuff is accumulated and now you don't know what to do. And half that furniture is already broken. Right? That's what their commercials teach us. That's what magazines and marketing teaches us. We don't think about the long-term consequences. We think about the here and now. And Proverbs says, nope, flip it upside down. Every decision is going to have consequences. Either there will be positive consequences or there'll be negative consequences. Proverbs 1 verse 4 says, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And then in chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 it says, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will what? Will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. That word discretion means an open door. Without the wisdom of God in your life is an open door. An open door to what? Anything and everything. Have you realized that? Your mind. Your heart is an open door to anything and everything. Why do we lock the doors at night when we go to bed? Because there are certain things on the outside that we don't want coming on the inside. Without wisdom, the world is a very dangerous place, and you are traveling down a road being influenced by people, circumstances, your very emotions, the desires that you have, the things that you want. Think about what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you see, what you touch. All of that is an open door to your mind. And when your mind is controlled by something, your actions will follow. Without the wisdom of God in our life, you and I have absolutely no filter. No filter whatsoever. We have no guide. We have no guard. Sitting at the very doorpost of our minds and our hearts. And we wonder why our families are struggling. The church in America is struggling. Our finances are struggling. A lot of times, it's because we have chosen not to allow the Lord Himself, the very Word of God itself, to be the guard of our life and the guide of our life. Think about your life right now. Where does danger in your life exist? Where does it exist? That's a question you have to answer to yourself. There are some general answers to it, but the Lord wants to be specific with you. Why? Because He is a personal God. Right now, in your life, where does danger exist? And we know it's anywhere and everywhere, so nothing is off limits. How can you fight against the temptations of this world? God says, I have given you my wisdom. And by the Holy Spirit speaking into your life through the Word of God, you will have the ability to fight off temptation because there is always a way out. I am your guide. I am your guard. Yes, you came into this world immature, ignorant, and naive to the things of this world. Yes, your mind and your heart is an open door. But I, if you choose to, will set up residence in your life, and I will be your guide, and I will be your guard. Why do we need wisdom? Because the world is a dangerous place. Last question. How do I get this wisdom? How do I get this wisdom? Do you want to live skillfully in this life? Do you want your mind and heart to be guarded by the one who created you? Do you want to see the things the way they really are? There is so much in your life that wants to destroy you, that wants to wreck your family. There are so many things in your own life that wants to take everything from you. I hope you want the wisdom of God in your life. Do you want to enjoy the relationships that you have? Do you really want the marriage that God has created and designed and desires for you? Do you want to live life experiencing incredible freedom in your finances? Not because you make a lot of money, but because you're a good steward of it. That you're amazingly and graciously generous. Not because you make a six-figure income, but because you have principles in your life that are created and designed by your Heavenly Father that teaches you how to deal with finances. To tithe. To bring an offering. To be generous to your neighbor, to your church family, to those who are in need. Not expecting anything in return. Not thinking that God will somehow pay you back. But simply because you love Him and you love His ways. How do I get wisdom in my life? First reason is this, or how you can do it. You must have a teachable spirit. You must have a teachable spirit. Do you understand? This is not a young person sermon today. This is the whole body. This is every single one of us. We need to have a teachable spirit. It might strike you wrong, but you have not fully arrived. Are you willing to receive instruction? Receive correction? Even receive rebuke? Are you hungry for God's word? Are you hungry for the word of God in your life? Are you humbly surrendering and complete humility to God and say, God, whatever it is that you want to teach me and tell me, if it be through your word, through your spirit, or through a godly person, through godly counsel, Lord, you have my undivided attention. When someone tries to help you, is your response always, I got this, I can do it myself, I'll figure it out on my own, I don't need your help, I don't need you to tell me anything? You see, the attitude that is throughout the book of Proverbs is a humble, teachable spirit that recognizes I don't have it all figured out. I need some good, godly wisdom each and every day. Listen to how the wise person is described in verse 5. It says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. A wise person in the Bible is described as someone who wants to continually grow in biblical wisdom. The great sin of Proverbs is a spirit that is not teachable. Proverbs 13 verse 1, it says, a wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Fools don't want instruction. Fools don't want guidance. Fools don't want people in their business. They don't want you up in their grill. They want you to stay way away, right? Proverbs 15, 12 says, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go. Listen, he will not go to the wise. This means that there are some people in your life that will never turn to you. Why? Because they know you will tell them what they don't want to hear. And they will avoid you like the plague. We all got them in our life. And to be honest with you, sometimes we are that person. We will avoid people. Wisdom goes to those people that you know are going to tell you the truth, no matter how hard it is to hear. This is why it's important to have a healthy church family. This is why it's important to have a healthy marriage and a healthy family in your home. Why? Because we operate in love, and one of the greatest things you can do is to graciously, lovingly speak truth into someone's life, praying that the ultimate response isn't going to be, how dare you? That may be the initial response, because we all have pride, and sometimes that truth is not delivered in a very gracious way. But the ultimate response will be, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough. Thank you for telling me and showing me that my life, my thoughts, my actions, my speech was contrary to the very word of God. You know what? I didn't even see it myself. I was blind to it. But thank you for graciously loving me enough to tell me the truth. I wonder how many blind spots are in our lives today that others see, yet they continue to get darker and darker and darker because people in our life don't love us enough to tell us the truth. Listen, the body of Christ is not in the business of fault finding. The body of Christ is in the business of redemption and restoration. And in order for those two things to happen, there must be loving confrontation. Listen, the ultimate outcome that you and I should have in our life is that we would present everybody mature in Christ. So be ready. If you're ready to confront somebody in love, be ready. Be ready for the response. Be ready to commit yourself to walk alongside of them as you partner with one another as they journey on that road of restoration. That's why it's important for you and I to be committed as often as we can to gathering like we are right now and worshiping God. It's why it's important that as often as you can to be committed to a small group where you can grow in Christ, in your understanding of Christ, to do life together. That's why it's so important to regularly, as often as you can, to commit to service with one another, using the very grace gift that God has given you for the glory of the Lord and for the expanding of the kingdom together. Why? Because it's in those moments that we see who we really are. And we actually have the real estate that is needed, built on trust, to speak truth into people's lives. And I think that's what happens. Our marriages, our families are not about unity. They're based on function many a times. You do this, you do that, and as long as you do your thing, I'll do my thing. But don't do your thing, because then it'll affect me. Listen, there are some functional aspects of marriage and family life, yes. But the very love that God is asking us to breathe out in our lives as Christians is to have an environment that is healthy enough to tackle the very deep and dark and hard things of life, so that we will present, again, everybody mature in Christ. That real estate, that trust, gives you the right, the privilege, and the opportunity to lovingly speak to one another in truth. You see, we all have limitations, don't we? One of the greatest advancements you can do in gaining wisdom from the Lord is swallow your pride. Swallow it. We are prideful people. By nature, that's who we are. Don't swallow it just once in the past. Swallow it. Choose today, every day. Swallow your pride. All of us have perspective that is limited. We only see certain things, and sometimes it's only based off experience or how we feel. We need wisdom first from God, His Spirit, and the Word of the Lord. But we also need wisdom from godly people. How do you get wisdom? Have a teachable spirit. Second, pursue it for life. Pursue it for life. Life is a long journey, isn't it? So is the journey for wisdom. Like I said, you haven't fully arrived yet. Doesn't matter what degrees you have. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what you know. Listen, God knows more. And you will be confronted with situation after situation after situation. And sometimes your response to that situation 5 years ago is not the same response you should have today. We're not talking about getting away from the Word of the Lord. We're talking about what is God telling me right now in this particular situation. It's a lifelong pursuit. Verse 5 says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." Then Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom." Don't you love that? The beginning is what? Get it. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Just go get it. Go grab it. Go seize it. Be intentional. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Wisdom is the way you see the world. It's the lens in which you see circumstances, people, and events. You long for it. It requires work. You can't just fall asleep on your Bible thinking that it's just going to come to you. It doesn't work that way. As a church, we are to actively pursue God's wisdom. As individuals, we are to actively pursue God's wisdom. Listen, here's what I know about my life and your life. You will pursue at great lengths what you value most. It's the honest truth. You will pursue at great lengths what you value most. Commit daily to reading the Scripture, and as you read, be observant. Ask the Lord, "What is this? What are you trying to tell me?" Then ask yourself, "How does this apply to my life?" Then pray and ask God to make it stick. Give me desire. Give me power. Make it stick, Lord. We get wisdom by having a teachable spirit. We get wisdom by making it a lifelong pursuit. And thirdly, in order to get wisdom, you must have an abiding relationship with Jesus. This is the most important one right here. You must have an abiding relationship with Jesus. I really want you to understand something this morning. When we talk about pursuing wisdom, we aren't ultimately talking about pursuing an it. Instead, we're talking about pursuing a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. It's about having a right relationship with Him. Proverbs 1:7 again says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The wisdom that leads to life and ultimate joy begins with knowing and fearing God. It's the reverent, repentant, submissive awe and recognition of who God is, that He is in control, that His truth is absolute, it will not change, and it's humbly choosing to obey whatever He has said. You see, wisdom is about knowing and making known the person of Jesus. That is the ultimate goal of wisdom. To know Jesus and to make Him known to others. Why? Because Jesus Himself is the perfect embodiment of all wisdom and truth. You know, the Apostle Paul understood this truth. In Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3, the Scripture says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is who? Which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are pursuing Him. We are pursuing Him together. Pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus Christ in everything that you do. In all of your relationships, in your marriage, in your finances, decisions that you have to make in life. What you watch, what you listen to, what you eat, all those things. Pursue Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. Let Him be your filter. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The only one excluded from God's wisdom is the fool. That's the only one that is excluded from the very wisdom of God. It's the fool. The one who in his own heart says there is no God, or the one that says there is a God, but I have nothing to do with Him. I don't need Him. That is the fool. The one who doesn't believe God exists, or the one who believes God exists, but they don't want Him. They don't need Him. That's the fool. Listen, if you choose to live life with that lens, you will end up, it doesn't matter what your life looks like on this earth, when you get to the end of your journey of life, it will be a dead end. It'll be a dead end. So I ask you, are you willing to live for eternity? Or are you willing to live for the here and now and end up destroying everything that you try to build? Let me ask you, where do you need wisdom today? There is always a response time when we hear the Word of God. Where do you need wisdom today? Understand that God wants to pour out His wisdom in your life. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if anyone of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask God. James is reminding us that what? We don't have it all figured out. God has all knowledge. God has all perspective. God has all experience, and God lacks absolutely nothing. And the scripture says what? He who gives generously to all without reproach, it will be given to him. God never gets tired of your asking. Do you realize that? The phone is always ready to be picked up. It's not off the hook. It's not on don't disturb. He will graciously listen and graciously give. But in verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What is the scripture telling us? Ask in faith. Ask in faith, fully depending on God and not in yourself. And trust Him. Believe what He says. Believe that it is good, that it is pure, and that it is right. Wisdom is ultimately a longing to know Jesus, to know His thoughts, to know His ways. And it's out of the overflow of that abiding relationship that you and I have the ability to live a life that is wise. He is the foundation to that way of life. It's His wisdom that lives in us and through us that ultimately expresses itself in the way that we live and the way that we see the world. So I ask you again, where do you need wisdom today? That's where we're going to close. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean and the praise team to come up. That'll be our response time. Where do you need wisdom today? Are you tired of searching? For some of you here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and that's where you need to start. If you're tired of searching, if you're tired of trying to figure it out, if you're tired of getting the same results in your life, and you realize that it's broken, that there is no peace, there is no joy, Jesus might be telling you, you need a relationship with me. So if the Spirit of God is talking to you right now, and your step of wisdom is your first step of repentance and faith in a relationship with Jesus, as we stand and sing, I'm going to ask you to come forward. All you got to say is, I need Jesus. I'll pray for you. We'll have somebody walk with you and counsel you in your journey of faith. Maybe you're here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you need wisdom. Maybe there's a decision that you have to make. Maybe it's as a family, or maybe it's something internal that nobody else knows about and you're struggling. Maybe it's the same old practices that you keep going over and over and over, and it keeps destroying yourself and destroying your family. And you need God to speak wisdom into your life. And maybe for you, your starting place is, Lord, I just need a teachable spirit. I have been so hard to the things of God. I've been so full of pride and blaming other people. God, I need a teachable spirit. Maybe for you, as a family, you need to come together and pray at the altar and just ask God to give wisdom over the situation that is going in your family. Whatever it is, As you stand and sing right now, I just want you to worship Jesus and respond to however he has called you to respond. Let us sing to the Lord.